Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Good idea after you've had a few. Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink. And I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just gotta call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown, I amuse you.
Won't you guess my name?
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out, and then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on, man? Live inside the Ticketmaster studios, it is Dukes and Bell with our man Chris Thomas in for Carl, who's got the rest of the week off. We'll be talking to Coach Raheem Morris, Matthew Judon, as we mentioned, with Andy Randy. We start every day of the show with a big hearty,
hey, man.
Hope you guys are having a decent day. Some rain rolling through the city, and it made kind of getting up here a little funky. But, yeah, we got to get that. We got to get the peach pass for the 92.9 urban assault vehicle on the way up here. But, yeah, man, we got plenty to talk about with the coaching staff. Normally, you'll hear Carl and I on Wednesdays here in the Ticketmaster studios at the branch, the only radio station that's broadcasting live here. That's why we are the ones you want to listen to. And I know that everybody has got an opinion on this. And, you know, from national guys, Chris, to certainly Falcon fans, just saying, like, well, what's going on with this offense? Nothing like what we expected. I know it's only week one. There's room for improvement. But how much is it going to improve against Philly?
Well, I know Jersey Mike in his bag of tricks got one of those swinging lamps that we're going to put in front of Coach Ree Morris's head as it trickles on and off as we hit him with the hard-pressing questions.
Right.
It really comes down to this. Are we going to see the offense open up in a way that we did not see in week one? Are we going to see more play action? Are we going to see more bootlegs? Are we going to see more creativity with Bijan and Tyler Allgeier? Are we going to see more Tyler Allgeier? Can we get more than three touches? All of those things are important ingredients to keep up with a Philly offense, Mike, that's going to put this defense to the test.
Yeah, you're not going to be winning any game scoring 10 points. Nobody, no blank Sherlock on that one. But you did certainly take a Steelers offense that didn't have all the weapons available because it was a last-minute filling with Fields. He did a nice job. Like, if he did that for the Falcons, maybe win the game.
Yeah.
You know, but we had too many turnovers, three in all, and Kirk did throw for a touchdown. But, you know, it's funny. Some guys are saying, well, you know, he did show some mobility. He did. He was able to move laterally to his left on the touchdown pass to Pitts. But the lack of play action, which has always been part of Kirk Cousins' makeup. That's his calling card. Great play action quarterback. And we thought, you know, especially with a guy coming from the Rams, that's exactly what Matthew Stafford does. That's what our offense is going to look like. So, now, we can ask the questions, whether Coach Raheem Morris decides to, you know, tell us, you know, what's really happening here or his perception of what's happening, we'll find out. But a lot of folks are saying, Chris, that you are having to basically tailor the offense, Zach Robinson, to what the physical deficiencies Kirk Cousins is dealing with right now, which nobody wants to admit exist.
Yeah, we just need to see what happens on Monday night, right? If they're able to do those things that we just rattled off in terms of what the offense was missing in its bag of tricks on Sunday night or Sunday afternoon, then we could be in much better shape. But if it comes down to we're seeing 65-70% again in the pistol and we're running the same sort of sets, the same couple of vanilla running plays that we saw against the Steelers, guess what? That's not going to work against the Eagles either because their defensive line is one of the best in football and they got a bunch of Georgia linebackers and safeties running around back there that know how to play in big games and make big plays too.
Now, in addition to Raheem Morris, the media will get a chance to ask Zach Robinson some questions today. So we'll have some of that audio for you later in the program. But yep. About 3:20, you'll we'll hear from Coach, and approximately 3:40, maybe a little bit later, you'll get to hear from Matthew Judon. We mentioned Brett Boone's going to come up this hour to talk about the Braves, and, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say dwindling playoff chances, because as you heard earlier, the Phillies and the Mets got a bunch of games head-to-head. Heard Grant talking to Andy Rende. Grant will join us later in the show, and then Barbara Dooley, her weekly visit with us.
Can't wait.
We like to say, Barbara's talking about whatever she wants to about 4:40, so stay tuned for that. But yeah, man, it's just, it's frustrating. It's funny. Today, I'm literally walking the dog. And by the way, my dog, what a traitor. You know, when I'm out of the house for a while, what I'm doing, so like it takes me about an hour and 10 to get up here from the south side. I got my neighbors who are dog owners. They watch Ike. And so today I'm like, I'm walking the dog, starts raining. And they're like, well, you want to just leave with us now as opposed to dropping him off later at noon? And I was like, Ike, boom, he's already in the house. He's in the door. No look back. No like, is that okay, daddy? I mean, man, he's a little traitor. Like little four-pawed Benedict Arnold, man. But anyway, that was my day today. So we got plenty to chop up with the Falcons. And yesterday, a lot of great phone calls from you guys asking the same questions that we have and all the hosts on 92.9 The Game have, but the national media has been talking about from ESPN to Fox to NFL Network. What's up with Kirk Cousins? We played the audio for you from Rich Eisen yesterday, where if you miss it, Oren can cue some of that up, where he says, you know, it's not that he's not feeling 100%. He said he claims that the ankle and the Achilles was okay.
The real interesting thing to me, Mike, and the audio came in late during the show, so in case you missed it, he said, no rust. And that goes directly against what conversation was early in the week after the game from Coach Raw about the team being rusty. Right. So wherein lies the truth on that one? Mike, you said it perfectly, and we're going to. All we can do is ask.
Right.
I don't know what the answer is going to be, but you know, when your head coach says one thing, quarterback says another thing that are in direct respect, it would be one thing, Mike, if the air of how healthy is he wasn't lingering around the situation.
Right.
But it is, so it becomes all that more important.
This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game. Right. Matter of fact, just drove by it on 85 coming north.
Us too.
Yep. Jimmy Carter, great showroom, man. They got great deals on pool tables right now. Get the details at mancavestore.com. Yeah, the Eagles, we all know, guys. I mean, it's Philly. You know, I'm not saying you can't go up there and win, but it's just, you know, it's historically, and a team that was coached by Dan Quinn has nothing to do with a team that was coached with Raheem, although Raheem was on the staff. It's just, we struggle up there. I was there for that playoff game. That was one that just drove me crazy because we were such a good defense in the 17th season. That was the year that Sark was hired by Dan, who'd never run a Shanahan-type offense with all its nuances. By, ironically, 2018, Sark had it really humming, but then the defense fell apart for the Falcons with injuries. But, yeah, I mean, my last trip, we've talked about it a lot. It's just, it's a tough place to go. I know got a couple of friends that are going up there. God bless. Go in peace. But be careful up there and watch your back. But we know that they're going to score some points. We also know that they can turn the ball over. It's not impossible. Jalen Hurts, and we talked about it yesterday with a TV guy from NBC Philly.
Dave Zangaro,
and he was saying, yeah, that's one thing that continues to haunt Jalen Hurts. And when they do struggle, it's the turnovers. And we got a very ball-hawking safeties on this team.
Well, I think that's one thing we obviously don't need to worry about, right, Mike? To be honest, I'm not worried about the defense in general, because from what I saw in week one, if that's going to be the baseline, because they're only going to get better. They're not going to get worse than they were in week one as they continue to grow. A guy we're going to talk to, Matthew Judon, that was his first game as a Falcon.
Right.
And he immediately made his presence felt. He had half a sack. So with the best safety duo in the NFL and that outside rush that's been so far revamped, listen, the one thing, Mike, I'm sure you'll agree with me on this, you can't let Saquon Barkley wreck the game. Because he can go up the middle, he can go outside, he can catch the ball out of, much like Bijan Robinson, they have their own version of that guy there, and he's going to try to wreck the game.
Could add another touchdown if you didn't watch the game down in Sao Paulo on Peacock, because he actually just took a knee to help burn clock at the end of the game, but very easily could have had three. The dude is a machine. Giants, like I don't know what the Giants, that, we'll get into that a little bit later in the Blitz, because a lot of folks are saying, you know, this coach isn't always cracked up to be, and maybe Bill Belichick would be the fix for the Giants. How about that?
Oh my goodness.
That's really the asking the question, can you go home again? But we'll get that at 3 o'clock. Getting back to the Falcons, yeah, I mean, this is an Eagles defense that we know what it's coming at you, and you know you've got to be physical, and you've got to have your defense in order. Your linebacker is going to have to be key. I thought Grady was one of the few Falcons you could say A plus four, because the effort was there all game.
Absolutely.
But it just presents a lot of issues. So that's why when we, and I know it's human nature, and some would say it's a fool's errand to sit there and go, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win. But I don't know any Falcon fans out there who didn't look at the first four games of the schedule and say, that's really, really tough.
Yeah.
And that's why the Steelers game was such a buzzkill, because that's when you felt, that's when you got to have.
I think 99% of people figured it would go like this. You win versus the Steelers. You probably take two tough losses with the Eagles and the Chiefs, and then you bounce back strong against the division rival Saints,
right.
And then you play the Bucks, and then you play the Panthers, and then you start cooking.
You know, it's funny. I heard Brandon Lang, well-known handicapper, they made a bad movie that it was about him with Al Pacino and Matthew McConaughey. Terrible movie, but about his life as he was coming up as a prognosticator. And I heard him on the Steakhouse, and he was saying he didn't like the Falcons that 9.5. He took the 9. He thought the division, and he was talking about the Bucks and still saying, you know, don't disregard the Saints. Well, look, small sample size. Week one, the Bucks looked like a machine against the Commanders.
Yep.
And yet to be determined. Carolina might just be an awful football team, and their quarterback might not belong in the NFL, but the Saints look great. And maybe we, with a question mark, and again, one thing that Brandon Lang does usually have is some good information, and maybe feeling the
nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Cousins is going to take a minute. It's a work in progress coming off the Achilles 2 months later than Aaron Rodgers had the same injury.
Well, I don't care who it's against, Mike. If you score 47 points, you got to take note of the offense. And when the Falcons score 10, something doesn't add up there. And I think when you here's the good thing, right? The good thing is you got 3 weeks now to figure it out before you would go against your rivals and Derek Carr. I know I still don't believe in him personally, but, I mean, again, the numbers are going to speak for themselves. But I still think this division is going to come down to what does Tampa do? Are they able to keep this momentum going? And how are we able to respond? That first game against Tampa, Mike, it's on Thursday Night Football. It's going to be a big test.
Yeah, man, we got football tonight, the Dolphins and the Bills. I mean, this is a new-look Bills. They turned over some of their skill position players, added some guys through the draft, but it's certainly still Josh Allen going up against Coach Bra and his culottes. And Tua coming off a win that, you know, they kind of grinded and looked kind of sloppy at times against Jacksonville before. Certainly they got the cheetah involved. We'll talk more about that in the Blitz. Coming up next, though, guys, we'll take a look at the headlines, tell you what's going down. Carl's off today. Chris is in. But again, Chris is ready. You're going to see this. He's got a folder. He's got a file folder and a real folder. And he's ready to ask penetrating questions today. Right?
Penetrating
questions. It's fun to say.
And really dig down.
We're going to dig deep. Hey, man, Coach Rock coming up in about an hour and 10 right here on Dukes and Bell. Got a couple games, man, with the Falcons in the spotlight. Monday Night Football against the Eagles. That's right, we're here on a Thursday. Normally, it's Dukes and Bell Live on a Wednesday hump day with Coach Rod. Today, we'll talk to him about 3:20. Chris is in for Carl, who's on some vacay. And then, of course, we get the Chiefs, you know, Sunday night.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're hoping that we're going to fix whatever needs fixing, get our fixins straight. I know that Kirk Cousins, Joe Patrick, just posted a video of him under center doing some backpedaling drills, which is something we expected to see more of on Sunday, and hopefully see more of on Monday night.
And also stuff, I mean, we start in camp, Mike.
I know. I mean, guys, this was something we went round and round with the audience, especially on the text line. We don't get to read all the texts, but a lot of guys hitting us up, also on Twitter, we don't call it X, and they're like, man, you sold us, you and Carl, because we saw it. And
right.
You talked about it. You know, we had Amon last night. He was doing the night show, and he goes, yeah, I mean, we saw it. You know, single back, Kirk under center, handing off the running back, and then, of course, then off that play action, then faking the handoff, and all those things. And, yes, there was shotgun, too. It wasn't like they didn't do shotgun or they didn't do pistol with a running back, which is shotgun with a running back next to you.
Right.
But it was still, to my recollection, a lot of Kirk Cousins under center because that's what he does. Randy said it earlier, Andy Randy's show, you cannot replicate the game speed. You cannot replicate that contact, that level of holding a block for as long as you do in a real game situation. So all that, of course, ramped up, amped up on Sunday, and Kirk didn't look like he's a guy who's ever played quarterback before in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's why people keep harping on the preseason, but we got to just accept it for what it is at face value. As long as Raheem Morris is here as the head coach,
right.
I mean, I guess anybody can change their mind, but yeah. As long as he's here as the head coach, that's going to be the game plan. And again, there were guys that didn't play in the preseason that played just fine, or there were guys that got a couple of reps in the preseason that played just fine in week one, which means there's something more fundamentally wrong
right.
with the situation here, whether it's the health of Kirk Cousins or it's the play calling.
Everybody sees it. I mean, again, this is not one where I know sometimes in sports talk radio people feel you guys are just hyping stuff up and making everything into a federal case. It's no hyperbole. Everybody in the country is talking about it. I mean, every talk show host that covers the NFL is talking about what the hell's wrong with Kirk Cousins. So we'll talk more about it with Coach Ron, try to get some answers in less than an hour. Right now, though, as Carl would say, it's time for some headlines. Headlines brought to you by ATL. Live well, don't just live. Live well. Last night, like 1,000 tiny cuts against Max Fried up there. It's amazing how the Nats have really had our number for the season series. If you didn't see the game, it was just, you know, everything was cruising. Third inning, all of a sudden, it's just like one little pit, one little dink here. Max Fried misplays a ball that normally he makes, kind of try to backhand one. And it just, all these things just added up. And there was only one really good piece of contact. That was a ball that was shot to dead center.
Here's the thing, Mike. It's sad to say, and usually these things we say sort of tongue-in-cheek and half-kidding, you could have telegraphed this game from a mile away. I mean, you knew this way. You scored 12 runs the night before. You allow zero. You knew exactly how this game was going to go because you don't get to the record that the Braves have, 79-67, which is marginally above 500. You're an okay to decent team by having these sorts of series over and over and over again ad nauseum.
Mets went against the Blue Jays last. By the way, that guy, Bowden Francis, a great name for a prep school. I'm going to Bowden Francis. Anyway, he goes. It has another no-hitter that gets blown up late, and the Mets come from behind to win last night. So they're a full game ahead of the Braves in the wild card for that final third spot. Here's the skipper on Fried. Try to keep it manageable. As we said yesterday, you know, not the way baseball works. Otherwise, it'd be great. You'd bank those runs. So if we're going to cap it off at six.
We're going to make it soccer scoring in the aggregate.
We're going to roll these five over tomorrow. Here's Snit, speaking of which, leaving guys on base.
You're damn right, Skip. Well, and he just laid it out there, though, Mike, in all seriousness. If you lay an egg against the Dodgers in a four-game wraparound set, you could be looking at a long end to the season over the course of just a couple of days.
Right, then you're really banking on the Phillies taking out the Mets, which, you know, the Phillies might find themselves locked in, or, you know, they're still battling for that number one seed with the Dodgers. The Dodgers got an unbelievable effort. You didn't see it. Shohei Ohtani does what he does, hitting home runs on pace for that 50-50. Everybody, they had back-to-back-to-back home runs last night in the bottom of the first to basically take that game out. Dodgers, it was still a high-scoring game against the Cubbies, but the Dodgers and the Phillies battling for that number one spot.
Must be nice.
Yeah, here's Max Fried. Again, you know, Max, never too high, never too low, just not able to keep it close. I mean, you got backups of backups getting hurt. You know, this lineup is, you know, again, it's a minor league lineup at parts of it. And Ozuna's cooled off, unfortunately. So, you know, the guy who's basically had this team on his back for the entire season, you know, you can't ask any more of him, but we do need some more right now. Olsen, there was some terrible at-bats last night. I mean, just, you know, just weak contact and just nothing special. But the only guy that did anything was Michael Money Harris, you know. One thing about Fried, I asked Grant McCauley about this earlier in the week. You know, is there any chance that the money comes down where Fried comes back to the Braves? I don't know. I mean, we've seen guys with less resume and less talent than Max Fried get paid as much money that would probably put him out of the range of Alex Anthopoulos bringing him back.
The only thing I would say that works in the Braves' favor right now, Mike, it's not just this year, though. He gets hurt every year. So
he gets banged up.
Yeah. So he misses time. He's guaranteed to miss a couple of starts almost every single year.
Right.
So if you're going to combine that with a mediocre at best outing in 2024, he's 9-9 with a 3.5 ERA, which is, I mean, listen, it's okay. Like last night was a perfect encapsulation, right? He gave up 11 hits. But he managed to only let that translate into four runs. It could have been a lot worse. Like you said, it was death by a thousand cuts, but those thousand cuts could have eventually been six, seven, eight runs, but he was able to stop the bleeding after a while. He did have six strikeouts and let up one home run. That's sort of been the story of his 2024 season. You know, I wouldn't be surprised now, given the way this season has gone, maybe he does take a little haircut.
I'm just curious to see where it goes, though, because we've still seen guys that don't have the resume get that 120 to 170. I don't know where it's going to be. I thought it would be, you know, going into this season before he had his issues again, I thought it was going to be an Aaron Nola type deal. Yeah. It would definitely keep the Braves out of the mix. Braves, by the way, reinstate Travis d'Arnaud. He was on the paternity list. We're having another bubula, and Chadwick Tromp comes back to Gwinnett. Yeah, it's just it's tough, man. You really do need to see this team get clutch, and they don't have the guys to get clutch. 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. That's the story of the season, you know, since the injuries hit. Hey, man, it's our headlines brought to you by ATL LiveWell. Back to the Falcons. If you didn't hear it yesterday, we played it late in the show. Here's our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, going on with Rich Eisen, and they were asked about, you know, how you felt in the game because it didn't look right.
Okay, I thought about this a lot last night, Mike, and I mentioned it really at the end of the show. That's fine, but relative to what? That's my big concern with everything that's been talked about.
Right.
Because you're saying you feel good, you're saying there's no lingering issues, but is that with the baseline of knowing that you're 80% right now? Or is that with the baseline of knowing you're 100% right now? That's what we don't know.
Right. And look, as we said, and we'll try to get it out of Coach here coming up here in less than an hour, as Coach Raheem Morris will join us here inside the Ticketmaster Studios. You know, it just doesn't pass the eye test. But you can't have, what do you expect the coach to come up and go, okay, guys, yeah, Kirk Cousins is not even close to being 100%, but we're going to roll him out there and we're going to modify our offense and see how that works. Which is what happened. But, I mean, again, the Eagles, you think the Eagles don't look at the game tape and see what they're going up against?
Of course. Mike, listen, the Philadelphia.
And the Chiefs, for that matter.
Yeah, the Eagles have every single play on tape, as they do for all the other opponents. They're going to see exactly what the Falcons did in terms of game plan, in terms of lineups, in terms of matchups. And they're going to say, hey, okay, if they're going to leave Kirk in pistol for 80% of the time, then we're going to have our defensive ends tee off on Caleb McGarry, just like T.J. Watt did, of course.
It's the headlines here on Dukes and Bell. Some college news. What do you call this conference? The six-pack?
Yeah, hey,
Boise State, amongst four schools, planning on joining the Pac-12, which, of course, is just the Pac-2. It's Washington State and Oregon State. And won't that be exciting? With Colorado State, California State, Fresno, San Diego State. Giddy up. Let's go get some six-pack action. Yeah. I mean, look, they're just in a terrible spot. It feels bad for Oregon State and Washington State. This is the best they can cobble together. Okay. It's not exactly an earth-shattering or earthquaking realignment. As a matter of fact, it's not creating a ripple, if we're honest. No. Hey, man, one other note. We will talk about the Brave shot with Brett Boone. Talked about it earlier. The Dodgers just keep on trucking. Mets now a full-game lead over the Bravos. And it's just, you know, you don't feel it's an impossibility. Grant stole my line. Randy and Andy were asking him, who do you root for when the Phillies play the Mets? And he said, a meteor.
Yeah.
Hit the stadium. But it is a weird position to be in for the Braves when you're hoping the Phillies can, you know, knock off the Mets a couple games and buy you some breathing room. We'll see where that goes. Also, yesterday we spent some time in Guy Talk. Not exactly a headline, but a funny story. Shannon Sharp does an emergency version of his podcast last night and speaks in the third person, by the way, you know, about Shannon and Team Shannon. And that he's got to do better, and didn't realize that he had an Instagram of a live waka waka bow chicka bow bow session going on. When you and I were talking about it yesterday, a lot of guys hit us up. It was one of those stories that resonated because, wow, Shannon's really he's doing some work. But
yeah.
A lot of folks saying it takes like three steps to do what he did. As far, I'm not talking about the sex. I'm talking about the actual setting up
that
the Instagram
three
live.
Steps too.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's more. Tell you what, Ben definitely knows what he's doing.
Yeah, she
quite the swordsman.
Yeah, she left that situation feeling plenty satisfied. But all right, Mike. So you had almost 24 hours to sit on it, staged.
No, I mean, I think we all know the guy's, you know, he's a rock star as far as physical shape. I mean, he's probably in the best shape of anybody who talks on television for a living.
Yeah.
But would you put it past him to make, you know, that kind of video just to further establish his prowess?
No.
As a man who knows how to make love.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what it did. He probably got record numbers on his podcast last night.
Yeah, and probably a lot of folks were reaching out to him on the DM who want a piece of that Shannon. Hey, man, this hour of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We won't have Guy Talk today, so we couldn't talk about it because Barbara's coming out, and we'll obviously not broach that subject matter with Coach Dooley's widow.
Although she has towed the company line a few different times.
Barbara's always giving us some salacious stuff in her own right. But we're not going down that road. We'll come back, man. Brett Boone is slated to join us. We'll ask him, as we've asked a lot of times of Brett, do you just, one of those years, say, you can't win. You can't win with this lineup. You can't take as many injuries as the Braves have taken. Or does he think they can still find a way? We'll talk about it next, live from the Ticketmaster Studios, the only radio station live from Falcons headquarters. It's 92.9 The Game. Dukes and Bell guys on a Thursday here in Paradise, live inside the Ticketmaster Studios up at Flowery Branch. Coming up, you're going to hear exclusively Coach Raheem Morris between 3:20 and 3:35-ish when he gets done doing his, coach stuff. As you're out there practicing right now, going to talk to us. Chris is in for Carl today, who's got the rest of the week off. And then later, Matthew Judon. We've not had a chance, either Carl or Chris and I, to talk to him. Again, big trade that we're all excited about. And see what Matthew Judon's got to say about, obviously, not what they were looking for against the Steelers, but his new digs here in Atlanta. And a team that's really excited to have him. That's all on the way. Right now, though, it's time to talk to one of our favorite guests. It is Brett Boone, who joins us each week here on Dukes and Bell. And, man, Brett, I know that we've had a lot of these conversations over the course of this summer that the Braves just can't catch a break. I mean, literally, it's just injury after injury. Is there some years you just got to – I'm not going to say throw up the white flag. We don't quit in this town. But you just got to say there's just too many breaks that are beating the boys in this case.
Well, yeah, it doesn't look good. The start of the season with Strider and Acuna to Albies has been on and off. You got Riley down now, and then Lopez goes down. It's been a challenge. Azuna's picked up a lot of that slack, with an MVP campaign of his own going on. But, yeah, it's been pretty tough sitting there. They're a game out. And I look at the Braves this year, and they're kind of mirroring that Mariners team over in the American League, who are not, as of today, I think they're 3.5 out of a playoff bid. And they've got the best pitching in I think baseball, statistically, the starters and the relievers combined. Braves, same thing. I mean, best pitching in the National League, but with this recent news of Lopez, he had missed some time, but going down again and get put on the 15-day IL, probably looks like he's going to miss the remainder of the season. That's just another blow. But you still got Fried, Sale, Morton, top of that rotation, and anything can happen down the stretch. One game out. We've talked about it all year. All we need is a seat at the table. But that seat's getting a little tougher with Arizona and San Diego playing unbelievable since the All-Star break, probably the best two records in the National League ahead of the Mets, who have grabbed that third spot. Atlanta's on the outside looking in, but it's just a game out right now.
Brett, how do you galvanize a locker room and not get tight during a stretch like this where every game means so much?
I think you chalk it up to the run that the Braves have gone on, definitely since Snitker's taken over and the run they went on winning that division each and every year. The experience, the group of guys that have been in there, that have been there, done that, been in these situations before. And I think at this stage, with a little less than 3 weeks, I think it's 16, 17 games to go, these guys aren't panicking by any means. There's too much experience down there that have been in this situation, a lot of veteran guys. So they're not panicking at this point, but definitely they're looking at it going, wow. Because me, as an analyst sitting on the outside, I'm looking at Atlanta, and yeah, they've had a lot of injuries, and it hasn't been a great year for them. If you want to chalk it up to being unlucky, yeah, they've been a little bit unlucky with the guys that they've missed significant amounts of time. But I always thought, but they're so talented, they're so good, they still pitch so good, they pitch at the top of that National League. Never was there a question in my mind they were going to be a playoff team. Now all of a sudden, Mets kind of come out of nowhere. Nobody gave the Mets a chance first half of the season, and you got to give them credit. They're playing really well. So I didn't think they'd be at this stage of the season on the outside looking in, but they are right now. But it's far from over, and anything can happen in the next week. It's not like they're 3-4 games out behind two or three other wild card teams. they're their sole team, and it's going to come down to it's either going to be them or the Mets in that third wild card spot.
And it's weird. We're in that awkward position, Brett. We talked about earlier. We're hoping the Phillies maybe beat up the Mets for us. They got seven games head-to-head. It's a Brett Boone, guys. He's our Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider calls presented by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett's also the host of a really cool podcast, the Brett Boone Podcast, featuring the most notable names in MLB and around sports. So check it out. So speaking of the Phillies, you think they can beat the Dodgers? I mean, the Dodgers, speaking of pitching, Dodgers have had all sorts of issues with pitching, but of course they can always buy their way out of it. But man, Shohei is just doing insane stuff right now.
Right. That Philly team, from the get-go, I thought they were the best team in baseball. And they fell on some hard times. They went through a tough stretch. They've got it back kicking in gear again. I think they're back with the best record in baseball. The Dodgers, it just seems like they've got talent for days. I mean, they've had so many injuries in L.A., but they're so deep. They're the deepest franchise, I think, in all of baseball right now. Glasnow's had two stints on the IL. He's the guy. He's the number one. He's their horse. Yamamoto, the big free agent offseason signing, went down for a couple months. He's back. His first start back, it was very encouraging the way he pitched. So you have Yamamoto back. Bueller hasn't been the Bueller we're used to. Kershaw, as everybody knows, has gone down again. And then you've got a Miller kid who you know, he's got a 7-plus ERA, but Stone's done a really good job. But Stone, once again, is on the IL. They picked up Flaherty. So it seems like from a depth perception, the Dodgers are the one franchise that can really weather the storm when it comes to injuries. Betts has missed a lot of time, but you've got Ohtani, Freeman, and Teoscar Hernandez. You got Max Muncy back that's capable of hitting 30 every year. So they're just so deep in that Dodger organization, that they can weather the storm that a lot of other franchises can't. That being said, head-to-head matchup, the way it stands right now, I still like the Phillies over the Dodgers from lineup to starting rotation. If there's a weakness in that Philly arsenal, it's that bullpen. The second half, there's been some chinks in the armor that goes to that bullpen in Philadelphia.
Very quietly, Brett, the Milwaukee Brewers having a great year, 83 wins. They've been just hanging out, leading the Central from pillar to post. Do you give them a shot this year? Finally, they're one of those always – yeah, go ahead.
I do. Milwaukee, they're one of those quiet people. They're just quietly going about their business, similar to what Cleveland's done. Cleveland's just quietly been right there with the best team in baseball all year, and nobody's really given them that much credit in the National League. And this is – It's kind of a flattering thing that we sit here and we talk about the Phillies, we talk about the Atlanta Braves, because they've earned that right to be top of the league. We talk about the LA Dodgers, you talk about the Yankees, the Houston Astros, that young Baltimore team that's exciting. But teams like Milwaukee, they get overlooked. Teams like the Minnesota Twins in the American League, the Kansas City Royals, who've made an unbelievable run to position themselves for a postseason bid. Those guys kind of get caught in the headlines with the bigger markets. And I'll tell you what, they're the scariest teams because nobody's paying attention to them. Everybody's worried about the big guys, the known markets. And sometimes the Milwaukee Brewers of the world, all of a sudden you're sitting there in the NLCS or the ALCS, and teams like the Brewers and the Minnesota Twins are sitting there going, wait a minute, what about we never heard anything about these guys. Those are the guys you got to watch out for. So without a doubt, I give that Milwaukee. That's a really good team. They can pitch. They can hit. They have a lot of guys. You don't know their names necessarily, but come postseason, I think you're going to know their names. Kind of like in Arizona a year ago.
Right. Arizona, came out of left field. I just don't know if we got the horses because we got backups for backups now on this spread. We're literally getting guys off the waiver wire like every day now as Brett Boone joins us. We're live at Falcons camp here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. More pressure on Philly because they didn't come up and get it done last year against the Diamondbacks, or the Dodgers, who, save for that one time in the COVID year, Brett, they don't bring home the bacon in October, seemingly.
I think where the pressure lies is in L.A. just because of the star power. I mean, you got a Teoscar Hernandez in that starting lineup who's having an MVP caliber season. He's going to right at 100 RBIs, over 30 home runs. He's like the fifth best offensive player they have. When you got Ohtani at the top and a Mookie Betts and a Freddie Freeman, you've essentially got four MVPs in the lineup on a daily basis. And with the star power and the bullpen and all the money they've spent that starting rotation from Glasnow to Yamamoto to Kershaw to Walker Buehler. I think the pressure lies because of the Dodgers and the money they've spent and only winning that one World Series, and it was in the 2020 year. For me, right. A World Series is a World Series. 2020 was the same for everybody else, and the Dodgers won. So I don't put an asterisk next to it. They won the World Series. They were the best team that year. But I think, yeah, as far as pressure, I think the pressure is going to and always will be in this current environment with the way they're conducting business in L.A. The pressure is going to be on L.A. But Philly on the East Coast, they've got its own kind of pressure. You want to talk pressure, it's always going to be Yankees on the East Coast, and it's always going to be West Coast Dodgers. That's the way it is. But if I'm playing for those franchises, I welcome that pressure. Atlanta Braves have a lot of pressure. They've kind of carved out a niche where, hey, we're the best team around for the last 6-7 years. So that's a good pressure, though. As a player, you're proud to put on that uniform where people have that high of expectation for you.
Talking about pressure, Brett, as we're talking to Brett Boone, Odyssey MLB insider. Baltimore Orioles, have they shown enough to you this season that they're ready to make a World Series run, or will the pressure be too much?
I don't know. You know, the Baltimore Orioles a year ago won 100 games out of nowhere, and I was aware of the young talent they had. You know, all the headlines were Gunnar Henderson, were an Adley Rutschman, and they're both great players. But I didn't realize how deep they were with young players, with the Couser. Santander just hit his 40th home run the other day. Up and down, the Jackson Holliday is kind of taking his lumps right now and learning the system, but he's going to be a great player. There's great players all over the field for that Baltimore Orioles team. Burns at the top of that rotation. For me, a year ago they won 100. That surprised me. I thought, oh, they're not ready to win a World Series a year ago. This year, more experienced, young, energetic. Now people don't take Baltimore for granted. They're gunning for them. They know how good they are. At the end of the day, when you mention all these teams that we've mentioned in the last 5 or 10 minutes, I don't see Baltimore being one of the best. Now, I could be dead wrong. There's so many teams with this current format. Sometimes I don't know where to turn. I look and I go, yeah, they could win. Yeah, they could win. They could win. But if you're kind of pinning me down a little bit, is Baltimore one of those elite two or three teams I think will get to the World Series? For me, not yet. I don't think the pitching's thorough enough with a lot of those pitching staffs out there that they're going to be competing with. For me, no.
And speaking of pressure, how's your brother handling it? They're a game and a half over Baltimore, and there's no bigger pressure cooker than the Big Apple.
Oh, that place is unbelievable. I mean, they expect him to win 120 games every year. I think Aaron's done a great job in New York. He knows what it is. You know, when you sign on the dotted line to be the skipper of the Yankees, it comes with a price. And when you don't win, you're going to hear about it. If you don't win a series, you're going to hear about it. So he handles it well. He knows. A lot of it is just that. It's sports talk radio, and it's Twitter, and it's every fan mad because we all think it's 1940 and they're supposed to win the World Series every year. With the parity in today's game, that's not necessarily the case. There's a lot of other teams out there spending just as much as the Yankees. But I talk to him time to time. You know, I kind of leave him alone when I wait for him to call me. But he's weathering the storm, you know, at the top of that division, they've been at that, but he still hears about it. You know, if they lose a game, even if they're atop the division and going to the postseason, you're going to hear about it in Yankee land. So, he's doing a great job. They're plotting along and looks like they're going to have a seat at the table for the postseason. I can just wish him the best, but we'll see. There's a lot of other teams that are very comparable to New York Yankees and are just as good.
Right. And you know the New York media. I mean, you know it is every day now with Aaron Judge.
You know it's been 15 days since you hit a home run.
Oh, yeah. Judge stinks. He's the worst player of all time. Next week, he hit 5 in a week. He's great.
Right.
That's the way it is. That's New York media.
I always thought that Billy Crystal docudrama 61 on Maris really kind of encapsulated what New York is like for a ball player.
Yeah, it really is. And, it's a place I always thought when it's the end of my career and, you know, before I finish, I'd love to play in New York. Not only did I love old Yankee Stadium as a hitter hitting there, but just being in that pressure cooker. I think as a player, you got to love it. You got to welcome it. You know, I'd love going out there and them just having such high expectations that when you don't play up to them, you hear about it. You hear about it usually in a classy way, you know, my recollections of Yankee Stadium. But you also, when you win, man, there's nothing like you get the key to that city for the rest of your life. So as a player, I'd want to be nowhere but the biggest pressure cooker.
Yeah, Judge only has 50 home runs this
51,
year.
51, right?
Yeah, only.
Yeah, only. Right. It's the third time he's hit 50. It's 60. It was a year ago, and yeah, right. you haven't hit one for a few games. So, hey, let's get going. It doesn't stop here.
Hey, Brent, always appreciate catching up. Hopefully, one last conversation we'll have, and the Braves are finding a way to eke in to the wild card, man. Have a great weekend.
I'm not counting them out. I still think I think in the end they're going to take over the Mets somehow. Where there's a will, there's a way. But we'll see. 16, 17 games to go.
Right on, man. All right, big guy. That's our guy, Brett Boone, guys. Our Odyssey MLB Insider. Insider call is presented by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Hey, man, Kristen for Carl is on vacay. We're going to talk some NFL blitz coming up, and then we got plenty about the Falcons. We're going to talk to Coach Raheem Morris coming up here in less than 30 minutes. And also, Matthew Judon's going to swing by the Ticketmaster studio. So get some exclusive Falcon talk, and we're going to ask all those questions you want. Now, I don't forget the answers. We're going to ask the questions about what's going on with Kirk Cousins coming up.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.